everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Janet Foster Show, the show where you get real talk that you can act on. Today is Primary Tuesday. Once again, I know some of you have been interacting with me on social media, and you've been saying it seems like it's every week. Well, it's going to be every week for a while, and today is the New York primary. And right now, you can get social with me on Facebook at Janet Foster, on Twitter and Instagram at Janet D. Foster, and that's D for Deborah. And just want to give some shout outs to some of our power listeners, folks checking in through the week and just giving some good dialogue and, you know, sharing some great social commentary. That's what I like to call it when we get when we connect on social media. On Twitter, Cynthia Drew and Amy Franklin, thank you so much for your feedback and love your responses to the question of the week. And on Facebook, Harriet Selden, Daisy D. Doe, and Lenora Freeman, thank you so much. You introduced yourselves and said you were new, and you've been checking out some of the postings, some of the top trending news that we provide on the Facebook page. And on Instagram, shout out to Elizal and Jim Bloodsworth. Thanks for the love on Instagram, your comments, and just even some of your what you share, the high fives. Thank you so much for that. And I am taking your questions live, and I'll be checking on that. And you know, if you're able to see the cameras in the studio, you will see that I am rocking official New York gear. You know, I am a diehard New York Yankees fan, so I am rocking the official Yankees hoodie. It is baseball season, but also, you know, for me, the political junkie, the news junkie that I am, politics is my jam. It's my thing. And I appreciate being able to share this with you. And today is the New York primary. And this primary kicks off what's going to happen for the next few weeks. Not only pivotal primaries in the next few states, but also these next primaries really start to reflect the demographics of the American public in the next few weeks, the states that are involved. Obviously, New York, it's all about New York today. Both parties have primaries in those states. And a lot of questions that you've been asking through the week, and some I answered last week, and there were questions from the answers that I gave last week, and I'm going to try to get into that. Did have a guest lined up, and I'm not going to put him on blast because we're going to try to see if we can get him to come on back, but and kind of schedule it up. But this person, it was so timely because there was an article that he wrote this week. It got published in several outlets, but I'm going to save that thunder for that individual when I get them to come in. Unfortunately, because of who this individual is and how busy they were, that person is on the East Coast right now, and it's a little busy for him. So we're gonna try it again. I tried again, and I promise it's gonna be worth the wait. I was bummed, but at the same time, I completely understand. What I want to do though is let you know, here on West Coast time, the polls in New York have closed, so it is done. And just a couple of commentaries. I just want to say, dang, New York, what's up with the election board? You know, I grew up in Florida, and it makes me wonder, because most New Yorkers, you know, when they retire or they decide to leave New York, they move to Florida. And, you know, there have been a lot of irregularities, not just some of the what I call the political noise. And there's been a lot of political noise going on. And but it's been some hangups. New York has had, they've had broken machines. There have been reports of broken machines today, which the fact that and something that some people may not be aware of, but they still use old school machines, which here in California, we're kind of oblivious to that because we completely go electronic because of our population, because it's so big. And as me, as someone who's lived in two different states, and I've lived in the state that recently has been doing things badly, Florida, you know, I've done the Scantron, I've done the Bubble In, and I've done the whole, I think the you have the cartridge and you remove your cartridge and you put your cartridge in something and that you validate, yes, that was my vote. You know, I've kind of done the gambit. New York, they keep it old school. And somehow in their voter rolls, there were names purged. And they've got a big old mess. And I know that right now it seems to be isolated in, you know, the area of the five boroughs, you know, New York City. There doesn't seem to be any irregularities in the suburbs or upstate, but it seems to be, you know, just some challenges going on and more of in the largest, obviously the most largest concentration of voters. But in terms of what happened, I think in the next few days, we'll see that. And it definitely, New York, you know, I love you, but I was very shocked. I was very shocked. And it's not isolated to just one set of, you know, one party. It's across the board. There have been reports where Republicans who have been long-standing Republicans, and they've always been registered Republican, but somehow they're not. And then same with Democrats. There is some political noise that's going on. And that political noise, a lot of it has to do with independents in that state where you're finding, and particularly with young people, which and I've taken a lot of questions this past week from a lot of young people, first time voters, and we're going to vet out some of your questions. But independents who we know that younger voters tend to register as independents. A lot of them are being surprised that they go to the poll and they're rejected. And some of where the political noise started is that they feel like that their rights are being violated. And one of the questions I got was, you know, how do you change the system? And you change the system by being a part of the system. And just to go back to what I said last week, referring to maybe reviewing your old civics courses from high school, you know, these are political parties. You have to be registered to be in the parties. There are states that have what's called closed primaries, and New York is a closed primary. And as a matter of fact, in the coming weeks, like starting next week, we have other states that have closed primaries. You have to be registered in the party. That has nothing to do with disenfranchisement, because actually, when you choose not to participate in a party, which is your right, you sort of disenfranchise yourself. If that, you know, particular party you wanted to participate in, if you didn't take care of business, first by knowing the rules in your state where you live, that's the first key. And, if you found out that and you just never bothered to update your registration so that you can go vote, that's all on you. You know, it's all on you. A lot of people, because of you've got the insurgency candidacies of Bernie Sanders, who is an independent, who was granted a courtesy by the Democratic Party to run as a Democrat. And then you have Donald Trump, who has been, he's been an independent in the sense that he has, he's been known to contribute and support individuals on both sides of the aisle. And these two candidates, Trump and Sanders, have brought around political, these the two political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, they've attracted individuals for the most part who are not either in the party. They're independents. The majority of the followers of both of these individuals are independents. And then you have individuals who may have begun to identify with those parties as a result of those individuals. It's not saying that, you know, all independents who lean conservative, you know, who are conservative are the bulk of Donald Trump's followers, because there are Republicans, and you've heard me say this, whether, you know, they're registered Republicans, but if you stack up, their needs and their backgrounds, they may or may not really be voting in their best interest as registered Republicans. And so that particular crowd has latched on to Donald Trump in the sense because the establishment, so to speak, does not represent their views, which, you know, I always find that fascinating, because the establishment for the typical Trump voter, the establishment never it never represented your views. So it's kind of interesting. And then on the Democratic side with Bernie Sanders, one of the, there have been several developments over the weekend about some of the demographics of the Sanders campaign. We know for the most part, young voters, typically between the ages of 18, definitely under 25, 18 to 25, that particular age group leans heavily towards Bernie Sanders. And but it's not just that group. What we're finding, and some of the data, I sifted through tons of polling data just to get up to speed for you guys for today. A lot of data suggests that not only independents who are older than 60, age 60, that are following Bernie Sanders, these are baby boomers, but they tend to be baby boomers who they were on the outskirts to begin with. And you know, during my political days on the Gore Lieberman campaign, we talked about the whole Nader, the Nader Raiders. And it seems that I wouldn't call them disenfranchised. I just think that they're I'm trying to be nice. They just think differently. That's about the best way that I can think of. They aren't mainstream. They never have been mainstream. And when I mean mainstream, these are individuals that were always outside the lines. That's the best way to describe it. And it seems like between that group and then with the younger group, because baby boomers are so much younger and their numbers are large like baby boomers, and then Gen Xers, there's a split within Gen Xers. For the most part, a majority of Gen Xers are tied to Hillary Clinton, which and I wasn't really surprised when I saw the data on that. Primarily because we were in our early 20s when Bill Clinton ran for office, and she actually was the first lady for particularly Gen X women, because most of us Gen X women, we were the first generation of women earning college degrees at a faster rate than the generations before us. And we are the first generation to have a very high level of education, meaning master's degrees and above. And Hillary Clinton represented for us someone similar to what we knew we were achieving, you know, in terms of advanced degrees, because this, she was a lawyer. She was the first lady who had an advanced degree, which not very many, not before her. I mean, I think the closest thing was Dan Quayle's wife, who was a lawyer. And pretty much, you know, the role of the first ladies that in our lifetime that we knew of were, they were basically homemakers, which most of us could not identify with that. Most of us could not identify because we were women earning college degrees, advanced degrees, and going into corporate life and earning income and being a second generation of American women earning money outside of the home, and also a second generation of women not marrying so young in our 20s. You know, the average Gen Xer got married in their late 30s. And some of us are still not married. So, and some of us are just getting married. And some of us are kind of cozying up to the idea. So, you know, it to see the split like that between Sanders and Hillary Clinton is, it's not very surprising. And although what has things at a fever pitch on the Democratic side is definitely because of in New York, Hillary Clinton is their former senator. And then it's going to be interesting to see how the Sanders narrative plays out, because Sanders' main narrative has been basically dogging out Wall Street, blaming Wall Street for everything. Well, in the state that Wall Street is headed in, and also knowing that there are Democrats that are on Wall Street, it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. And we have a first set of results out of New York for the Democratic race right now, with 6% of the precincts reporting. Hillary Clinton has 62% of the vote, and Bernie Sanders has 38% of the vote. And how the delegates will be apportioned will be based on percentage for the Democrats. And this kind of segues into some additional questions that you guys had for me that I'm going to answer. A lot of you really asked me, hit me up, you inboxed me, you hit me up on Twitter in asking me if I could explain a little bit more about why the apportionment happens. And this kind of leads into, I think, a lot of the difficult, when I say difficult, I mean, it's been unconventional, and it's unconventional in a bad way. And when I say in a bad way, it's because it's happening out of being uninformed. And a lot of people are complaining about delegate apportionment and saying that we need to get rid of this and blah, blah, blah. But then you have to understand, these are parties that have their own rules and guidelines. To be a part of those parties, first and foremost, you need to be registered in them. Even if you are in a state that has open primaries, like here in California, we have a semi-open, meaning you have to state which ballot you want to have. Independents are allowed to state which one they have, but they can't get the full, you know, they just can't go in and without, you know, stating which ballot do you want. If you want to have say in the Democratic Party, you have to be a registered Democrat. and in the Democratic Party, and each state party has its own rules based on engagement. But what I can tell you, what's consistent among no matter what state or even territory that you're from, if you are a registered Democrat, and even the same for Republicans, because we've had the young Republicans on, and they explained how to get involved. You have to get involved with the party, and the easiest way to do it is either through a club. Here, and I'll use California for an example. We have an extensive listing of Democratic clubs. And I mean, there are Democratic clubs for any issue, any persuasion that you have, whether it's the LGBT Democratic Club. And I don't think it's specifically called LGBT. I think it's the Lambda Democrats. I think that's what that particular group's been called. But we have over 1,000. So there's a way for you to get involved. And just even in Los Angeles County alone, you can get involved. And each club has representatives that can go to county meetings as well as a state convention. And, it's very easy to do that. Same with Republicans. You've got your local Republican club, whether it's your county club or, again, a special interest club. And here in California and across the country, different state parties also have county level committees. And now this is where, when you start to get into committee work, that's where, and a lot of you ask questions about the apportionment, who decides that, this is where you get into that layer. And for Democrats, the superdelegates, that's also where you get superdelegates. And here in California, and I use us as an example, we elect our county representatives, our Los Angeles County Democrats. And of course, I know you guys know that I am a Democrat since I've worked. I've worked for a lot of Democrats. I'm a good old moderate. But we elect them for a 2-year term. And actually, we've had that election in 2014. So if anyone in California is complaining about their representative, or they're complaining about how the delegate count goes with California or anything like that, the only thing I can tell you is if you really wanted to do something about it and be involved with that, you should have ran in 2014. You may still have time to get yourself on the ballot, because I don't think they primary for that. So for the June primary, the local county representative won't be on for that. But you do what you need to do to get yourself on the ballot for this fall, because in 2016, we vote again for our Democratic County Commission again. So, the Los Angeles County, the Central Committee, because each county here in California has a committee, and individuals run. You are listed on the ballot, the official ballot, and, you do it that way. With these conventions coming up, and I know that there's been a lot of footage on television, particularly they've really been watching Republicans, because it seems that Trump supporters are feeling that they're being slighted. And the way that they show how the voting goes, it's similar to how in some states how Democrats select delegates as well. We do it here in California by precinct, and you do have to run. So it's not something that you can just sit back and relax. So don't complain about it. Get up and do something about it. And if you're an independent, you got to pick a team. just, you know, you can't just say I'm an independent and then I'm going to go in and change another party. It just doesn't work like that. You got to be all in or you stay on the sideline and call it a day. But, you know, that's the way delegates are selected. And now with 16% of the delegates, the 16% of the precincts reporting in New York, Hillary Clinton still is running at 61.5% and Bernie at 38.5%. At stake tonight in New York on the Democratic side are 247 delegates. And on the Republican side, they've already declared it. They've already declared Donald Trump the winner of the New York primary. So, and it looks like for him and how the Republican Party does it for the Trump delegate, for the delegates, they're his. It's winner take all, so he gets 95. Right now, with 16% of the precincts reporting, he has 67.6%. And the magic number was 50%. If you saw a lot of the reports over the weekend, how they do it in New York, it's kind of like a graduated allocation system where the person with more than 50% of the vote, they get three votes per, I think it's three delegates per county, which is the max. That's the max. And then if anybody else has, I think it's anything below, I think there's a threshold. And it looks like both Kasich, even though Kasich, he's in second place, which this is the highest turnout he's ever had, besides winning his home state of Ohio. Both Kasich and Cruz, they're not even at the threshold number. So that it's clear that Donald Trump he's going to take all 95 delegates. So we don't even have to we're not going to be watching the rest of the Republican race because it's already been called. And for Clinton, now 21% of the precincts reporting, and she's holding at 61% of the vote in New York. And I mean, and this is kind of expected. I mean, she was their senator. She was their, the state of New York elected her twice as their U.S. senator. And she did a lot for the state. She did right by the interests of that state. And, you just got to go hats off to them. But pretty much, she was going in expecting to win tonight. And it looks like so far she's handily being consistent. She's being consistent for those votes. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about was, again, it's kind of going along the lines of rules. Over the weekend, there was a major story that broke about there have been reports of female delegates for Hillary Clinton that have received phone calls from the Sanders campaign. There is a young man who did a website, had all of the delegates' names, their phone numbers and their email addresses. And there's been, and again, this goes around the political noise. And I think a lot of this comes from, there's a combination. You've got a combination of people who, they really believe that they're a part of something when they don't really realize that what they're doing is inappropriate. You don't take people's private information like that. But where it came to a head was a series of incidents being reported. And for those of us here in California, you know, that have had experience working in politics, we know that there's a process for when you're trying to plea your case for your candidate. There's a process and there's a proper procedure for doing that, to talk to other people's committed delegates. You can contact them, but doing unprofessional and I think sophomoric things like publicizing their information, and I think they're calling it a hit list, and based on a lot of the reports this weekend, but for those of us here in California in the Democratic Party who are aware of the behind the scenes players, Mr. Bob Mulholland wrote an open letter to Bernie Sanders about some of the tactics and behaviors, and the open letter was to request the cease and the cease and desist of that kind of behavior, to kind of take control of your campaign. And I've had the opportunity in my past life to have worked on communications teams that have been led by Mr. Mulholland, and I would tell you he himself, when he wrote the open letter, he's a superdelegate because of his work. Mr. Mulholland here in California has run strategy teams here in California for the California Democratic Party, as well as worked on national initiatives. And he is a delegate to the DNC from California. So he's a part of that hit list. And I wonder, in his open letter, he didn't allude that he got called, but he knows individuals who have, and he consulted with them, and he outlined, and he actually challenged the Sanders camp to follow the party rules. And some of the party rules dictate how you contact people. One of the things that you don't do is there's a certain level of individual from the campaign that contacts delegates. It's just not some random schmo that calls a delegate. That's the first thing. And there's been talk over the weekend. It started Friday evening, and it started with I think it burned one of Sanders's advisors. I'm saying that there's a potential for them to contest, do a brokered convention with the DNC. To try to emulate what Donald Trump is trying to do is very difficult to do with the Democratic Party. And this is the answer to some of your questions, because when reports of this came in, this is when some of you inboxed me about this. And you wanted to know, is that even possible? Well, it's possible to do a brokered convention in the Democratic Party, but what makes it impossible is for Bernie Sanders to do it. And the reason why it's impossible for him to do it is because he's not a registered Democrat. It's been a recent thing. Two, he doesn't have the rapport with the superdelegates to help him broker or even flip other committed delegates. That's going to be an uphill climb for him. The easiest place for him to try to flip people are in the Democrats that serve with him in the U.S. Senate. From his own home state of Vermont, Senator Patrick Leahy isn't supporting him. And that would be an easy flip. And Senator Leahy, he has a lot of a lot of respect and a lot of ties, especially, you know, coming out of a state like Vermont, which isn't really a labor-based state, but Senator Patrick Leahy has a lot of respect from the labor movement. But and so somebody like that could help flip delegates, because those in labor, organized labor, are they've already been committed delegates. Labor unions like SEIU, a lot of labor unions that are based, based back east, are they're with the traditional Democrats, and the traditional Democrat in this race is Hillary Clinton. And, you know, that's just going to make a broker convention a little difficult. And, Bob Mulholland broke down in his open letter about the rules. And he actually challenged the campaign to cite which rule that they want to take. And that's an important point. And I know a lot of you who are Sanders supporters kind of asked about that. And there are. And that kind of leads into a great article that was printed today in the Daily Beast. I think it's by, Taryn Sattermeyer, I believe it is, which I thought was really a great article, where she talked about if you want to change the system, you've got to know the rules first. And that's been the biggest thing going on, is that you have to be able to if you're going to have a real revolution, you got to know the rules that you're up against. And I think with Bernie's team, there's been a lot of miscalculations. The main miscalculations have been where they haven't strategically pulled plans together. You can tell that they haven't pulled plans together for closed primary states. And the only strategy that they had for states with closed primaries have been things dropping statements like, we're going to broker a convention, those things. And I know, and for a lot of you, when campaigns do that, they do that for two reasons. One, they do it for fundraising. Bernie's been taking a lot of hits on fundraising, and a lot of that has been due to the fact that he has not raised money for down ticket candidates. Sending out an email for somebody is different from having people who physically are going through their Rolodexes and hosting events. And, you know, going back to, if you watch the Sunday shows, one prominent Democratic fundraiser, George Clooney, was on. And, this weekend, with the behavior that occurred with people throwing money at a motorcade, that's not revolutionary. That's actually very childish. And I think George Clooney put it the best way. This is how things work. Until we're able to change it, you got to play the rules. And, the thing that most people are coming up with is individuals who were throwing money, those were not Democrats. And it's because Democrats don't behave that way. When you have someone like a George Clooney that will raise money, it's almost like the fundraiser that he did have, he was raising, money was being raised for down ticket candidates. And when you hear the word down tickets, we're not just talking about the person who is going to be our party's nominee for president, but we're also talking about that individual at the top of the ticket and needs to be able to help raise money to bring people at the congressional level in both chambers. Money needs to be raised for people who are running races in both chambers. You know, here in California, we have a very competitive race for an open seat. Two women who I think are fabulous, you know, Loretta Sanchez and Kamala Harris. They're running for the Senate seat that Barbara Boxer is retiring from this year. You know, California, again, is going to make sure that two women will go to the Senate. But, you know, money has to be raised for that. And the unfortunate thing is the Sanders camp is not providing any money, you know, for, and you're thinking, you know, when you think that you see people who are making it rain on a motorcade, but they're not making it rain for other candidates. Again, it makes the whole brokered convention thing a little unrealistic. You know, you have celebrities that are speaking up, but you don't see those celebrities maybe hosting something to help down tickets. You know, that's the kind of thing that's needed. And it's not happening. It's not happening for Senator Sanders. And it was really unfortunate about the motorcade incident, because that, you know, that's how you know those individuals are not Democrats, because people in the party know that we have individuals. We have Democrats who are people who are, have been long-term Democrats, loyal Democrats, who own corporations, who are parts of those corporations, who own companies on Wall Street, who are movers and shakers on Wall Street. You know, there's just a philosophy at how you're able to best make these changes. And in the whole idea behind the Democratic Party is to make mobile the middle class, so people can move into middle class, and then for middle class to be able to stay there. And right now, there just seems to be a division of that in terms of what people think the party are. We know that we have some people around who are not Democrats, and they're not interested in the party. They've got some other kind of issue. But for a brokered convention to happen, it would actually have to be something that would be extraordinary, just to put it mildly, because it's something that can't. It's something that can't happen. I'll just leave it at that. Don't want to burst your bubble, but it's unlikely, because you've got so many elected officials who would be a part of the brokering process, and it's just not going to happen. So my suggestion would be for any young Democrat who feels that there needs to be some kind of change, run for political office, run for these local counties, start getting involved in local Democratic clubs. That I would highly recommend, because for you to be known, you do need to be a part of a group, because, you know, especially in politics, because people want to know what you're about. You just can't come out of nowhere. And, you know, to a lot of loyal Democrats, there's definitely a selling campaign that Senator Sanders has to do to a loyal Democrat, someone who's a registered Democrat, who's always been a registered Democrat. There has to be a selling point for someone who has not been it has not been in the party. It, you know, has not been a part of the platform process, has not been a part of helping other Democrats win. So that kind of answers a lot of questions, because a lot of you had the question about, you know, you wanted to know about how the rules are, and the brokered convention. You wanted to know my thoughts about the brokered convention, even just based on those the facts that I gave you, that a lot of superdelegates have to be involved in that brokering process. It's just highly unlikely. I just think that was just statements made from the campaign as a means of being able to continue raising funds, for that candidate. Now, what's coming up next week is going to be another big opportunity, and that's and it's being dubbed as Super Tuesday Part 3. We're gonna have 5 states, and another state that's a big state is Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has 189 electoral votes at stake. And then Maryland has 97. And Maryland and Pennsylvania are closed primaries, meaning you have to be, and I think both parties are doing those states. So you have to be a registered Republican. You have to be a registered Democrat to vote. So that will be very interesting. And we are now just got in the final word. Hillary Clinton has been declared the winner of the New York primary, where she has more than 61% of the vote. And Bernie came in at 39.5. Now, what's going to happen, and this is based on 38% of the precincts reporting, she's cleared the threshold that the party set, and she's been declared the winner. And she will get they apportion the delegates, but she will get the majority of those 247 delegates, and that puts her in a great place. Going into tonight, she had 1,758, so she could clear up with, she could be at 1,900, after New York. And all she needs is 2,383. And next week, definitely with wins next week, which she's polling extremely high in Pennsylvania, as well as Maryland. And she's doing well in Connecticut. You know, Connecticut's going to be a challenge for Bernie because his stance on gun control, and then the recent he has since backpedaled, but he initially did not support the Newtown, Connecticut families and their ability to go after gun manufacturers. And that was something, with the state of Connecticut, that's something that has become a priority for that state. And interesting enough, it's a purple state, and it is in New England, in Vermont's backyard. And it seems to look like it's going to, right now with in the Democratic race, Hillary Clinton is leading in the polling in Connecticut. She's also leading in Rhode Island, which I find that's very interesting. But then there's a Kennedy in Rhode Island. That's Janet's thought. There's a Kennedy there. Hillary should be at about 1,900 after New York. And then with Donald Trump, he's well on his way. He's well on his way to the 1,237, which he could clear that. He could potentially clear that by next week if he sweeps on Super Tuesday 3. Just some other updates. We had Dr. Paul Song. I talked about this last week. There's been some fallout based on his commentary. It's been reported that he's quit a group, which, sometimes those are negotiated. He has resigned from his position as director of the Courage campaign as a result of his commentary that he made. And, last week I talked about, that he's the husband of reporter Lisa Lang. And he has since apologized, and Lisa Ling, who is brilliant in her own right, she wrote a letter and explained about that and talked about that, and she also mentioned too that she and her husband, although they agree on most things, they are supporting different candidates in the primary. And interesting enough, Dr. Song lives here in California, which we don't vote until June, which I think most of this will be over by the time we vote. But he did resign. And that's going to be the reason why that made big news is because the organization here in California is very much not tied with that kind of language and support, and they don't get involved in politics. So his involvement somehow got misconstrued that organization endorsed Senator Sanders, as well as being tied, obviously, to the negative commentary. So there was some backpedaling on that, and it was unfortunate, and I do think that he didn't mean that personally. And again, the man's a brilliant physician, which I kind of, and I've worked with physicians, and what he probably will do best if he stays in the clinical setting, because obviously he didn't minor in political science to probably know language meaning and word usage are two different things sometimes in politics, and you kind of have to watch it in politics. But he did apologize, and he now just runs his multi-million-dollar company that he set up. So, but and the reason why he was in New York is because he was born and raised in, I believe, Queens. I know he's from New York City. So, but born and raised in Queens. For some reason, I keep thinking Queens, but he's definitely from NYC. So he lived in he was born and raised in one of the five boroughs. Let's put it that way. But as we move on to get ready for next week, just know that we will keep in touch. And you can hit me up on Twitter and Facebook. And, the question of the week was who wins? And everybody gave great, great feedback on your parties and who you thought would win. We'll hit you up with another question based on those outcomes and looking at part three. But I just want to thank Jeremy Hansen for all what he does and helping making this thing go. And thank you all for listening. And until next week, we'll be here and we'll catch you at the next time. Have a great week.